Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tanya Mosley. Whenever school segregation comes up here in Boston, the first thing we often think about is busing from the 1970s. But Boston's history goes back much farther than that, all the way back to 1848. That's 100 years before Brown versus Board of Education. That's when the state of Massachusetts saw the case of Sarah C. Roberts versus the city of Boston. Sarah Roberts was just 4 years old when she tried to go to an all-white school. Her case was the first legal challenge to school segregation. Boston eventually became the first major city to desegregate its schools. This hidden history is now being told in a new children's book called The First Step: How One Girl Put Segregation on Trial. And the author, Susan Goodman, joins me now in the studio. Hello, Susan.
Hi, how are you?
So tell us a little bit how you found out about Sarah Roberts and her family, and what was your first reaction to the story?
Well, I moved to Boston in 1975, and I've lived here long enough that there are a million visitors who've come. And after many times on the Freedom Trail, I said to myself, I can't do that anymore. So the next time I looked around and I found out that there was the Black Heritage History Trail. And when I was walking on this walking tour, which is the back of Beacon Hill, this is the first time I heard the story of Sarah C. Roberts v. Boston. And I was totally amazed. I had never heard of it. I'm a kid's book author. I've been a reporter. I know one has itchings for stories, and I was shocked.
You were shocked that you didn't know about this story?
Yes, and what I've found is actually nobody knows it. Well, not nobody, but very few people, surprisingly few people know this story.
What was happening in Boston during that time? We're talking 1848.
Right.
Give us a picture of that time in history.
Well, there's a reason why I think that they did the tour for the back of Beacon Hill, because it was an unbelievably active time in terms of abolitionists, black and white. People were trying to desegregate railroads. They were trying to get rid of integrated marriage. They were trying to get rid of what had become a lousy school, sorry. The Smith School became a bad school that was the school designated for African-American kids, and they had a boycott going on.
Speaking of that, The First Steps, this book, has a lot of details about the scenery of where Sarah grew up. For instance, I'd like for you to read an excerpt from the book after the point when Sarah was taken out of an all-white school with lots of books and things to play with to that segregated school you're talking about for blacks far away from where she lived. If you can read that for me.
My pleasure. Sarah would have to go all that way for a school that never taught subjects like history or drawing. All that way for Boston's only school without a play yard, a school that only owned one book. Every day, Sarah would walk past one, two, three, four, five schools she could not enter. And that was to get to the Smith School.
Talk about the importance of illustrating those vivid details for the reader, for young people specifically.
Well, I think it's important for many reasons. One, young people don't have, little kids don't have context. I mean, if I talk to you about something, how amazing that it was that this was before the Civil War, you know what a Civil War is. They don't. Also, we know almost nothing about Sarah. We know a lot about her parents, or particularly her father, but we don't, the only things that we know about her are what were reported in the census every 10 years.
And talk about that. What did you find out about her?
Nothing. Very, very little. I know that she lived with her family on Andover Street. during the time of the case. 10 years later, we were out of her story because she was already old enough, and then they had moved to Cambridge. But about every 10 years, we check in and see who she was living. The census only tells you how old someone is,
yep.
where they live, mm-hmm. and who they were living with at the time.
You talk a little bit about her father. And in the book, one of the things that you point out specifically is that her father felt angry at the idea that she would have to attend an inferior school like he did. Mm-hmm. You said you know a little bit more about her mother and father. What can you tell us about them?
Well, I can tell you that her father in particular was an activist and came from an activist family. There's a wonderful story about him growing up with his parents who had bought a pew in a church in Stoughton Corner, and the next time when they came to use the pew, it had been tarred. Mm. This was a white area.
Right.
The week after, they brought their own chairs.
So that speaks to his activism. Exactly.
Totally.
Yeah.
The next week after that, it was ripped down. And they sat in the aisles for the rest of the year. So Benjamin Roberts was pretty determined. But as a children's book author, we really want a child hero. And so what I tried to do so that kids, and also as a nonfiction children's writer, I'm not allowed to put any kind of feelings in their heart, in a kid's heart that I don't know.
Hmm.
I can't put any words in their mouths. So my strategy was to try to give so much detail about every scene that Sarah was in so the kids today could try to put themselves in Sarah's place and feel what I couldn't assign to her.
And what age is this book for, would you say?
Well, I think it really depends on who's reading it to the kid. Or whether they're reading it to themselves. I know people who read this to second graders very effectively, even though there's some complicated things to it. I have as well. It's great for fourth and fifth graders.
Yeah. One of the things in your book that you point out is that this was taken all the way to the Superior Court by the country's first interracial legal team, which was Robert Morris and Charles Sumner. How did that happen? How did they get involved with each other?
Well, Benjamin Roberts knew he was going to go to Robert Morris. Robert Morris was an activist, an African-American activist, the second black lawyer in the United States, the first one to ever do a jury trial. And he was a real daring do kind of guy. Mm-hmm. Eventually, when they go to Superior Court, he asks Sumner to join him. Sumner grew up on the back of Beacon Hill as well. Mm-hmm. His dad was a rabid abolitionist, so was Sumner. Sumner was called by Lincoln the conscience of our nation, and really he was the one in this case. This is the first time when he really put words to some of the most important phrases that we use
today. Yeah.
Today.
Yep.
Like separate is never equal.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
he was the first to really argue that in a court. And also equality before the law.
A powerful part of your book talks about the significance of Sarah's story, even though ultimately they lost the right for her to attend that white school. And it sets in motion a movement towards integration. There's a passage that says, "The march towards justice is a long, twisting journey. Three steps forward, one step back, one step forward, three steps back. Laws change, and the march moves forward." Talk a little bit about why it's important for children to take away this message specifically. I'm thinking about all of the things that's happening right now in our world. Mm. And really just this idea that even if you lost, that doesn't mean that you're lost, it's lost forever.
You know, it's interesting. When I first thought about doing this, I spoke to a friend and she said, "You can't write a book about a case that loses for kids."
Mm.
I disagreed, and I wrote the book. And so now when I do school visits and talk to kids about it, I ask them, I say, what do you think? Am I allowed to do this? Can I write this book for you? Or what I always say is maybe the grade before you, the little kids.
Right.
And kids to a one say, no, of course you can do this.
Really?
And their reasons are profound. I mean, sometimes it's just we need to know history, but it could also be how else will we learn that we have to keep trying?
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty inspiring.
You end this book with a passage from the 1954 Brown versus Board ruling, and this line is so powerful to me. Separating children because of their race generates a feeling of inferiority that may affect their hearts and minds in a way unlikely to ever be undone. While there might not be a law on paper today that separates children by race, we're still seeing so much of this today. Did you find in writing this story for children that there were so many things that resonate for you today?
Everything. Mm-hmm. What can I say? I mean, I think I wrote at the end of this book, there's some back matter in it, you know, with a timeline,
yep.
a segregation timeline. And it's so inspiring to be able to do that 100-year span between Sarah and Board of Ed, Brown versus Board of Ed. But then I couldn't stop there. I had to show what happened after that, and what you see is increasing segregation. And then, of course, there's the political situation today. I think that one of the most important things I learned when I wrote this book is if you have causes that are dear to you, you got to watch them like a hawk, and you have to work with other people because things change. They go forward and back.
Sarah Goodman, thank you so much for joining us. Sarah is the author of more than 30. Susan. Well, I'm thinking about Sarah.
She's on my mind now. She's so important.
She's on my mind and in my heart now, really. Susan is the author of more than 30 nonfiction books for children, including The First Step, How One Girl Put Segregation on Trial. Susan Goodman, thank you so much.
Thank you, Tanya.
Well, that's it for today and this week. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Tanya Mosley. Have a great weekend. This is Radio Boston.